Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Blue Jay Center podcast presented by the Sick Podcast Network. And it might be a bit of a negative one today, boys, as we played the Astros this week. And I'm pretty sure we got, I don't know, two, three hits on the entire series. One of those being obviously a no-hitter. But we'll get into all that after the break.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to the Sick Podcast. Blue Jays Center.
Bautista drives it deep left field. Gone!
The sickest Toronto Blue Jays podcast. It's gonna be sick.
Welcome back, Cole, Robert, and James. We are here again talking Blue Jays baseball on the Blue Jays Center podcast presented by the Sick Podcast Network. We got a packed show coming up for you. Hopefully not too negative, but we'll see how that goes as we go along. Of course, we're going to start with recapping the Astros series. Then we're going to get into the banter bay questions from the fans. And then we'll go into our Stat Genius segment where we bring out some advanced numbers. And then we got the On the Farm section for James Price. We're talking Yariel Rodriguez. And then we're going to preview the Yankees series to finish things off, which hopefully goes a lot better than what has been happening so far for the Jays. Going back to the Astros, let's start with the no-hitter and just initial thoughts on that, guys. I mean, we did it on the Blue Jays Center Instagram page, obviously, but for everyone who listens to us here, let's hear it, Rob.
It felt too easy. You know what I mean? It felt like it was one of those no-hitters where, I mean, look, Blanco, congratulations, buddy. You did it. You got a no-hitter. Very rare feat to do. It just didn't feel like as though the Blue Jays were really putting up much of a fight. And we've seen this team over and over again. They fall behind early, and that was also coincidentally Bauten Francis's first career start. So he had a rough first inning, and then to me, like it felt over. Like that's just how it's been with this lineup. You fall behind a few runs, and that's pretty much curtains closed. They had four wins all season long last year when they came back from three runs, which is pretty unheard of if you think about it. So basically, if this team falls behind three runs, regardless if it's in the first inning, the seventh inning, it's pretty much case closed. The at-bats were super uncompetitive. It was just a really tough watch, man. And follow it up with a couple really anemic offensive games after that. I mean, it's congratulations, Blanco. You did it. But I don't know. I think this one might be a little bit on the bats, too.
This is going to be a humble brag, but if you guys want any entertainment from that game, just go to the Blue Jay Center Instagram page and watch my opening to the postgame show. That's all the entertainment you needed, James.
Yeah. Rob used the right word. Anemic. Like, that was... Boy, that was painful, guys. I mean, I'm not going to talk about the one game because they were all just as bad.
Right.
Like, yep. The approach is... And you know what? We're going to get into David Schneider in a second here because I really need... Screw it. Let's go there right now. He gets the two-run shot. No one would have seen that coming. Josh Hader doesn't give up home runs on his slider. He doesn't. Like, I think last year he allowed five hits total against that slider. Nuts. And sure, people can say, well, it was middle. And there's also a reason why people don't hit it, regardless of where it is.
Right.
And Schneider took it out in the bottom of the ninth inning to give the Jays the win, which was great. And then he sits the next game.
Yep.
Well, the analytics say this. Well, the analytics can go shove it so far up the rear
because
there is no analytics to this. Because then the team goes out there with him on the bench and they get one hit and they get absolutely slaughtered. I mean, it's embarrassing, guys.
That's the baseball gods. It's just disrespecting the game. This guy hit a home run in both of the games he's played in, and you're still thinking, you know what? I like our chances with IKF and Kevin Biggio over him. I do.
Sure. Oh, 100%.
In what world? In what world?
So here's the issue. It's like the analytics are saying Davis Schneider, Christian Javier, he throws that high and in fastball. Davis Schneider can't handle it. Well, what's the analytics saying about Isaiah Kiner-Falefa? He's the guy that's the answer to the high and in fastball. Like, that's a guy who can hit it. Like, is that what the analytics are telling you?
Yeah.
Like, regardless. And look, maybe there are some actual factual evidence to suggest Davis Schneider high and fastball. They trip him up. But I mean, come on. Like, you have a big league lineup that's, frankly, starting 3 to 4 ninth hitters in the lineup in that game yesterday. You're telling me David Schneider's not good enough to start in that lineup? I get what the analytics say. I'm an analytics guy, but to me, I found that kind of ridiculous. You mentioned that post-game show on the second game, the day after he hit the home run off Hader. And I mentioned David Schneider, while it seems very obvious that he should be playing every day, this organization doesn't trust him. For whatever reason, they're waiting for the other shoe to drop. They've been waiting it ever since he got called up. And it's got to be demoralizing for him. He's come up and basically I'm Babe Ruth, man. 150 plate appearances. There are few guys, if any, in the history of this game that have performed and produced like I have. And yet, for whatever reason, next time right hard-throwing righties in the game, not that Javier really is one, but he's going to be on the bench. It's really unfortunate.
Also, guys, I think I can't remember where I saw. I think one of you guys sent it in the chat. It was after the no-hitter. And John Schneider's like, well, you know, he can't like the process and stuff like that. I'm like, are you high?
Yeah.
You didn't get a single hit in the game, coach.
Outlier, even though outlier for the first time, for the first time in Major League Baseball history in the modern era, which is since 1920, which might as well be the entire history of baseball.
Sure. Yeah.
No team has been one hit and no hit in the first seven games of a year. Not one team, except for the Toronto Blue Jays this year.
Sure.
Yeah, an outlier. Yeah. Even though in the two games that you lost previous to that no-hitter, you were abysmal offensively, and the two games you were night and day different. So yeah, I'm sure the no-hitter is an outlier.
Yeah.
So basically, here's my big gripe with that. John Schneider, he's gonna read off a teleprompter. He's gonna read off what everyone wants in the season. He's gonna have a political answer. That's just what managing is. People getting upset about that. I'm sorry, but like, what do you want John Schneider to do? Go up there? Like, it doesn't matter what he says. His speech, it means nothing. A baseball manager in 2024, their words mean nothing to me personally. I'm sorry. It is what it is. We saw last season with the Barrios decision. We saw with the Davis Schneider decision, which also I don't think is up to John Schneider either personally. I know that there's some beneath the hood stuff that front offices don't reveal. The game's all analytical, man. The manager is just there to be a bullet shield for the front office. So, I mean, yes, it's not an outlier. What John Schneider really wanted to go up there and say is, look, you had a whole offseason to fix this problem. You did nothing. You just patched up holes with a wet paper towel when we needed surgery, when we needed more than a Band-Aid, and they didn't do that. So don't get too riled up over John Schneider, because here's the thing. Regardless of what you feel about John Schneider, if this team underperforms, he's gone. Regardless if it's his fault or not, regardless of what you think about him, he's going to be gone. He's going to be the first guy that Ross Atkins throws under the bus if that time comes, just like he did with Charlie Montoya a couple years ago. So to me, like, my advice to everyone, don't get worked up over the puppet.
The problem I have with this stuff is accountability. Yeah. Like, all we're doing here, like, I referenced hockey last season, or last episode, and I'm not going to do it again. But when they get no hit, you expect, no matter what the organization has to say, you expect somebody to say, yeah, we were awful tonight. We were terrible. We got to be much better. Even though that's just mumbo jumbo garbage and wrong.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Whatever. No, there isn't. There's nothing wrong with that. But then to say it's an outlier and you go back to last season, Rob, you mentioned the Barrios decision. We go back to that situation. Did anybody take accountability? No. Ross Atkins threw John Schneider under the bus. John Schneider didn't say anything about it. And it was just kind of pushed under the rug. And we still to this day do not know what the hell happened that game. So there's no accountability. And it's just painful to watch them beat around the bush and try and fire a positive spin on a no-hitter that you allowed. That Cole said, I mean, for God's sakes, it's never happened in the history of the game in that series. And the one guy who drove in runs in that entire series is on the bench for the finale. It makes no sense.
No sense at all. Let's bring the conversation.
There's an issue. Sorry, Professor. But like,
you wanted to move on from the manager talk.
No, it's not really related to manager. Okay. I agree. I think this organization does have an accountability issue. I said that last year after the Atkins press conference about how he just threw John Schneider under the bus. My whole point is that if you created a culture, you as a general manager, that's going to point fingers and deflect, then like, why are you expecting the manager, the guy who he knows he's going to be the first guy under the bus if shit hits the fan, you know? So in the end, I think a lot of this kind of speaks to the culture that Ross Atkins has created ever since last year. Like, eventually John Schneider, how much more bullets can the guy reasonably take, you know, until he says, screw it.
That's fine. Let's bring it back to the on-field product. Davis Schneider, you want to talk about splits? You want to talk about advanced analytics? Check his OPS against righties last year. Check his OPS. Sorry, not even last year. Well, I guess it would be last year because he hasn't faced a righty this year. But yeah, check his OPS against righties last year. 840. Yes. Was it significantly worse than his OPS against lefties? Yes. But that was because he put up a 1400 OPS against lefties. Of course it was going to be worse.
Than Eden Vladdy.
Exactly. Yeah. So the fact that that exists, then you go back to his minors and his splits were the opposite. He was better against righties. There is nothing suggesting that this guy can't handle a righty to a better competent level than IKF and Kevin Biggio, and yet here we are. So, in my opinion, I think that that is change number one, and that does go down to, I mean, who knows what's happening behind the scenes, but in my opinion, if that's not John Schneider's decision, then you might as well send Ross Atkins on the field. Like, if John Schneider can't make that decision, then what is he actually doing here?
Rob, you mind if I jump
organizational in? Blind spot. That's the umbrella we can throw it under. It's an organizational blind spot.
Yeah, and just to make it clear for everybody, the Jays went 1-2, and then it was game two that we did that. We got no hit in the first game, one hit in the last game. So the vibes are not high going into New York.
Now I want to touch on one thing, last thing before we kind of move on from this.
The
whole Davis Schneider thing, people are going to, you know, come out and say, well, it's one guy, right? You lose 8-0, you lose 10-0, it's not going to change anything. But it kind of does.
It's just vibes.
I mean, it's all exactly. It's that. It's mentality by all the other players. You can't tell me after that home run and going in the dugout and seeing everyone's reaction and hearing what Ernie Clement always says about Babe, albeit they're very close buddies, but
yeah.
You go out there the next day after a great win like that and you find out that the dude that just won you a ball game is on the bench. How are you feeling about your team and your chances going into that?
Yeah.
Like, as a player, your mentality flips to like, damn, like, what are we doing here? And you don't have a positive mindset going into that game. Yeah. And it's just a domino effect. It's awful. But
yeah, again, and that ties back to the postseason decision last year.
Yeah.
There was multiple players that came out and were like, we didn't know that was gonna happen.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyways, some positive vibes that it will bring us right now is we're going to the banter bag section. Questions from the fans, and we'll start with the highest vibe of all, I think, Joey Votto. The Jays signed Joey Votto this offseason to a minor league deal. He hits a dinger in his first at-bat of spring training, then comes into the dugout, rolls his ankle, and he's been out ever since, rehabbing from that ankle injury. So I don't think he's began necessarily some baseball activities just yet, and if he has, it's still light work. But that wasn't the question. The question is basically, where does he fit on this roster in the future when he is healthy? And that, I think, is a very good question from the fans. So that's why I wanted to bring it up, because does Joey Votto, you know, become healthy and then take a spot from, you know, Ernie Clement? Like, how does Joey Votto fit on this roster if it isn't an injury-based replacement? Rob?
I'll be honest, and I don't want people to get upset at this. I think Joey Votto in 2024 provides as much value as Ace does, if I'm being honest. I think he's just there to provide a good look for the fans. Good vibes. All the vibes have been terrible. But look, there's Joey Votto, the Canadian guy that we all love and is going to be in the Hall of Fame, and that we can just point to him and say, look at all the great vibes. Joey Votto, if he ever plays a game for the Toronto Blue Jays in 2024, he's got to get healthy. And then, sure, you cut Daniel Vogelbach. Who cares? Which, by the way, you already paid him $2 million, so it just seems like poor asset management if you were to just cut him after not playing him at all.
I'm pretty sure he has to have Joey Votto.
Exactly. So to me, I think Joey Votto is kind of a get out of jail free card, if that makes sense. If the vibes get really bad, if that's a guy that you can sell to the fans a bit and just make them happy, I would be shocked if Joey Votto has a 0.5 WAR this season. For the I'd be shocked.
Rob, I'd be shocked if he even plays a game. Honestly,
really?
Yeah,
that's kind of where I am at this point. No, hold on.
I'm not shocked, but yeah.
I think one time to weekend series to sell tickets at Rogers Center.
Sure, give me last weekend of September, you know, and good vibes only, and then send him packing. But no, I honestly believe that I just don't think he'll play.
Yeah,
you look at Joey Votto, and he loves positive media, right? He's doing all this stuff to make it look good. And we all know Ross and Mark are doing this to try and make them look good, even though everyone sees through it like crazy.
Yeah.
But you get the, that's, you know, you get the home run against Zach Wheeler. Interesting how it's 95 right down Broadway. And then he, you know, conveniently rolls his ankle over bat right after that. Then you see the heartwarming picture at opening day. And interesting how we, you know, heard it wasn't really a big deal, the whole Joey Votto stuff, and it wasn't a big injury, and he'll be back soon. Like Cole said, he hasn't started baseball activities, and we're probably, what, are we nearing a month of this happening? And the dude is 40.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of at the point where, is he even going to play, or did he really want to spin that narrative of a positive outlook before he calls it quits?
That's I'm just with Rob. Where I'm at. I'm with Rob. I think if he ends the season as a bench coach, that'll be the best value that he could provide to this team in 2024. The next question is Alek Manoah. Speaking of guys who, where do they fit on this roster? Alek Manoah is making a transition back, obviously dealing with a shoulder injury. He is working his way back to baseball activities. I believe he's thrown some to live ABs, or yeah, live batters, some sim games. So he should be relatively close. We're talking a couple weeks, maybe the end of April. But as we know, especially with Bowden Francis's first start, not that I hold that a whole lot of stock in it, we do know that that spot's up for grabs. Despite, yeah, no matter what happens with Bowden Francis, basically, that spot's up for grabs. Alec Manoah is going to get a look, and it's going to be an extended one. At minimum, what he got last year when he was the worst pitcher in baseball. So that's where Alec Manoah fits to answer the question, and I don't really know if there's anything else to add. Do you guys have anything else to add?
No, I think it's pretty simple. I think it's pretty simple. Like, he's not going
to... I do have one thing. Go ahead, James. Go ahead, James.
He's not going to be pitching until at least May.
Right.
Like, in games.
Right.
And he's probably going to get a start, actually probably multiple starts at, like, AAA Buffalo before we even see him.
Yeah. And if I'm betting, he does finish the season with the Jays. Like, I just... You can't go from as good as you were to as bad as you were to then just being that bad. Like, you're just going to continue being that bad. I can't see that happening. So I do suspect he'll finish the year with the Jays if he's not injured.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's going to be that. I think he's going to be with the team at some point and for the majority of the season when he's healthy. Because they kind of have to. They kind of need him to be good.
Yeah.
I don't have any actual baseball analysis like you guys mentioned. It's more so for the vibes. This team just needs some good news, man. This team just needs a good story. A guy who the fans really endeared. He had the number 6 in the back of his jersey. He had some incredible seasons. Obviously, until he had to make that playoff start against Seattle, all the vibes were just immaculate with him. He was just on a short list of beloved Toronto athletes. And obviously, the last 365 days, let's just see how that's all gone down. It's just really, really unfortunate. I really hope. I'm a big fan of the guy. He's obviously very endeared to this fan base. If he can just turn it around and provide some good value this season, hopefully soon, it would just mean a lot to this fan base. That it just really does seem that it's been a while since, you know, good news has kind of come at a premium for this team, unfortunately.
Yeah. I'm going to tie – now I'm going to jump up to the next question, and we're going to tie it back to our first episode. We didn't get into it then because that was a loaded show, to say the least.
Yeah.
Predictions. We answered the question of what we thought the over – or over-under would be on the win total of 86.5. We all consensus said over. Ooh. This now ties into the actual question. Is the over going to be enough to get us into the postseason? Do you guys have the Jays making the postseason in 2024? I have us just missing it with 87 to 88 wins. Rob?
You said yes. I said yes on opening day. And obviously, you know, this is before like this start, which doesn't really change much.
Right. It's 7 games.
Look, here's the reality. The watch has been horrific, no doubt about it. 3-4, I don't think you would have been that appalled by it if you were suggested. Like, so let's say you were
starts. Yeah,
exactly. A week ago from today, you'd be like, okay, that's not the end of the world. But actually seeing how awful these games have been, it looks a lot worse than it is what I'm saying. The reality is, pitching and defense, we've known, we've learned. It's not fun. It's not a brand of baseball that fans particularly enjoy.
Yeah.
It wins you games. This team won almost 90 games last year. They won 89 out of 161. I'm not counting that last 162 Wes Parsons throwaway game, but they could have easily won 90 games last year. And I guarantee you, had the roles been reversed, you have an elite offensive team and just a borderline pitching team. You win the same amount of games. They lose the same to Minnesota. Nothing changes except for the order of operations. I think fans are feeling a lot better about this team. I think the vibes, it's more so to the style of play rather than the quality of the team. I do think that this team, regardless of how they started, they'll win their share of games. I think pitching is that valuable in today's game. It always has been, really. And the offense will even out. We'll talk about this in the Stat Genius segment, but you don't have to even go through the stats, the advanced numbers. Vlad's hitting like 208. George Springer's hitting like in the one. Like, these guys are going to be better. Even if nothing changes, if they just perform to their norms, they're at the very least going to be a baseline Compton offense. Coupled with, even if it's an above average pitching team, not elite last year, they're going to win a ton of games. So, yeah, I still say they do it. I still believe in Vlad. I still believe it's going to come. I still believe in positive regression. Not a good start, but yeah, I still feel like they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, Rob, you mentioned pitching and defense not being pretty. And the two words came to mind that have made Jays fans just cringe since last season, and that's run prevention, guys. It's just ugly stuff.
That's
awesome. But yeah, because offense is fun. Offense is fun and entertaining.
It is.
But I'm so with you guys. Cole says just going to miss. I still think they're going to make it. as somehow after these games, I still have that mindset. There's just way too much talent in that pitching staff to lose them games, you know, to make them not lose the playoff or make the playoffs. We saw last season, you know, a team like the Houston Astros, albeit, you know, different pedigree and stuff, they weren't great to start the season.
Yeah.
And hell, they're awful to start this season. They're 2-5 now on the season, right?
Right.
But it's so early in the game, and you mentioned how awful this team has looked to this point. They're 3-4. And you, right. Rob, you reamed off those offensive stats for your key players. You're still 3-4. Like, I understand that's just a terrible. It doesn't sound right. People want to punch their screen because they're like, their offense stinks. And I'm like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But it's 7 games in. You're 3-4. Positive regression, Rob said.
Yeah.
And I just think, like you said, there's too much talent. And for God's sakes, we need good vibes somewhere.
Yeah.
Here's what I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you the offense will be better than this. Because right now, yes, they're averaging 3.1 runs a game. Yeah. Last season, not even the Oakland Athletics, who are historically abominable, score that many runs a game. Score that few runs a game, I should say. So, no. Yes.
Yeah.
What's that?
No. Yes, actually, they're just referred to the A's, actually. Yeah, they will not be. They won't have a city team next to it.
Thank God. Okay. The Sacramento Athletics. Oh,
little reverse Washington football team going on here. But anyway, yeah, the offense will be better. I promise you. No additions. Even if no additions are made, no stories come out of the minors. No big splashes made at the deadline. I promise this offense will be better than this. Will it be enough though? I can't promise. I think so, but I admit it's a coin flip.
Yeah.
All the odds, Fangraphs, Baseball Reference, all these prediction websites, they have the Jays about a coin flip to make the playoffs, around 50%. So, yeah.
Yep. While we're here in fantasy land, in my opinion, let's go to our last banter bag question, which is fantasy land. If we could pick one player from each of the AL East teams to play on this roster, who would we choose? I'm going to name the team, name the likely player. You guys tell me whether... If we could just move on, we agree. Or if you do have a disagreement, then offer me up your disagreement. So we'll start with the New York Yankees. Aaron Judge.
I went Soto.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I don't hate that. Baltimore Orioles. Adley Rutschman.
Yeah, I was going to go Adley, but I like Gunner at second base.
Really?
Just with this team, yeah. I don't know.
Have you seen Alejandro Kirk throw baseball? And hit a baseball.
And I've also seen Isaiah kind of
he threw him out when the guy fell. When Myers fell, he got him out then, buddy.
That was his first one. All right,
stud.
Boston Red Sox, Rafael Devers.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. I was going to say easy, yeah. Even though he's real bad defensively, he is good enough offensively. And then the Tampa Bay Rays, I would go...
I'm going Randy.
Randy
or, if healthy, Shane McClanahan.
Oh, that's true. If healthy, I will say, though,
we talked about the vibes and how this team needs an injection. I mean, bringing Randy or Rosarena to that lineup, I mean, Randy's like, in terms of vibes, Randy's Teoscar on steroids, man. So,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Maybe non baseball related, just for the vibes, for sure. Got to go with Randy there.
Awesome. Maybe that's another segment we can get into more depth on a later show. But that was a good, fun question for Banter Bag this week. So, appreciate all the questions. Keep them coming for the next episode. And I'm going to move on to the next section, which is. Stat Genius. I know we were just on positive vibes, and I'm sorry for my Stat Genius stat, because I looked into how the Jays have done recently against the Yankees, or in Yankee Stadium, and the last 2 years, they've been bad. In fact, the Yankees and Yankee Stadium have been a formula for one of the worst opponents for the Toronto Blue Jays the last 2 years in terms of OPS against them. So we have a below 700 OPS against the Yankees, period, and in Yankee Stadium the last 2 years. Hopefully that changes.
Winning record, though.
Maybe, yeah. You're probably right. Prevention, baby. I believe you, but our offense has stunk and our offense currently stinks. So that was my point. But Rob, you might have something to suggest that our offense is going to turn a corner soon.
Well, before I go into that, I have to bring in my own stat genius stat. And that's, I'm going to go through all the reasons why keeping Davis Schneider on the bench was the right move. No, I'm joking, guys.
That would have been a bad show.
Anyways, the Blue Jays coming into yesterday's game, we all know offense is horrible. As of right now, 30th in the league in batting average, which obviously is not the best stat, but obviously we know when you're 30th in the league in batting average, when you're an extremely bad team at any one thing, it's a problem. Also 29th in the league at batting average if balls in play. So alluding to my previous point, how awful the offense has been, there is factually an element of bad luck to it as well. So take that as you will. It's not really anything advanced analytics, but it's just a stat that you've got to keep in mind. You know, there's going to be positive regression, alluding to my previous thesis, and that just proves it.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that actually don't know what BABIP is.
BABIP. Batting average on balls in play. Batting exactly. average on balls in play. So sorry for not clarifying. I believe I actually mentioned it last podcast, and I didn't clarify what it actually meant, so I apologize for that. Let's clean that up now. Yes, BABIP equals batting average on balls in play.
Yeah, and now before we get into the preview for the Yankees series, let's get to the farm, which we will have something cool for you next week. But James, I'm throwing it to you now.
So we're at the point of, I guess, the regular season. There's still no lower minor leagues going on.
Right.
But Yariel Rodriguez, probably, and I hate to say it like this, the biggest offseason ad the Blue Jays had this year.
The most investment, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And the guy that no one knew what the hell who the hell he was going into this. Fantastic. He was great in the spring, and I think we talked about it. Was it probably the first podcast we talked about? And I brought up how, you know, he pitched well against the Orioles in his three innings, but he only had the one strikeout. So we're like, okay, how is he looking? Well, he got his first start in AAA Buffalo a couple days ago, and boy, he was good. Nice. Four innings, hitless. So pulled the reverse Blue Jays there on the Woo Sox. What a name! I think it's Red Sox. what a name! No hits, one walk, punched out six. Nice. And he was awesome. And his delivery, and Keegan Mathison tweeted it out. I'm just going to pull that up here after his start. There's such a personality to Rodriguez's pitching. He's going right after hitters, and he kind of gives you – Jays fans know, remember seeing Johnny Cueto when he pitched for the Royals in particular, because that was when Jays fans were dialed in. And obviously Marcus Stroman as well have the hesitation move and stuff like that. Well, Yariel Rodriguez has a little stuff like that. If you check out Keegan Mathison's Twitter, he posted a video of Yariel's splitter, and it was a hesitation. Leg up, hang it there, and then fire a split, and he got the swing and miss for a strikeout. So he looks great in his first start. Again, it's one start, and it is AAA Buffalo, but seeing what Bowden Francis is doing, seeing how far away Alec Manoah is,
West Parsons.
For God's sakes, Parsons, Mitch White, all those guys, you know, they're all around, and Yariel Rodriguez could be interesting.
I think a couple simple takeaways from what you just said are two things. Yeah. One, four innings. Yeah. That means he's pretty stretched out.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's what the Jays have been hoping for. And if you're stretched out on start number one in four innings and it went well in AAA, I think that is a huge sign for the big league roster. Second simple takeaway, he's attacking hitters, which in AAA, if you're a big league pitcher, you should be attacking hitters because they shouldn't be standing in the box across from you. So he did that and it worked. And he was effective. So I think that those are two simple takeaways from his first start in AAA.
I was going to say, like, we didn't really talk a whole lot about the Bowden Francis start. And I know you mentioned, Cole, how you don't want to put a whole lot of stock into it. And I get it. Yeah. No doubt. It's his first career big league start going against that lineup. It's a very difficult situation to be in. But at the same time, I also want to point out, you know, Bowden Francis, there's a reason why he's making his first big league start in the same month he turns 28. You know, he was a throw-in in a Rowdy Tellez trade a couple years ago. He's a guy who, prior to this season, has never had any experience pitching outside of only exclusively in low-leverage situations. So my point is that if you're serious about winning, and I get it, Bowden Francis had a great spring training. We all know that. I don't think that the leash can be overly long. You know, I do think that this is a guy who the organization, you know, this is not like a Ricky Tiedemann. You're not to groom him so you don't ruin his confidence. Like, if I mean, all I'm saying is that a couple more of those, and you have to have a serious conversation. Is Alec Manoah coming up? Are you going to call Ricky Tiedemann up? Are you going to try Yariel in the pen? Sorry, in the rotation. So we got to give him another shot. He needs more of a look than that. But I'm just saying, like, I got to think. That leash has got to be shorter than maybe you think.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree with that because you have so many options that at least provide an upside of you don't know what they're going to provide you in the big leagues, but also you have a sample size of Bowden being good in the pen. So I would completely agree with that.
Yeah. I like the mentality he's got, and he's got some swagger. He's got some, like you said, Cole, coming right at you mentality, and you can't be passive, especially as a starting pitcher, because in the big leagues, they will feast on you. And a guy like Yariel Rodriguez, who obviously didn't pitch at all last season, but pitched in the WBC for Cuba, has been in those big moments in massive stadiums, jammed to the brim. He knows that kind of pressure. I mean, it's one start. I get it. But boy, he was good.
Yeah. And as, like I said, I think you can fall back on the simple stuff from the one start. Okay. Now time for the preview of the Yankees series. I'll start with the matchups on the mound. Tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock, we got Yusei Kikuchi going against Marcus Stroman. It'll be Marcus Stroman's second game ever against the Toronto Blue Jays. And in that one game, he was pretty good, according to the numbers. And I didn't look into how Yusei Kikuchi has done against the Yankees particularly, because I think that we've seen just a completely different version of Yusei Kikuchi than what those numbers would suggest. So I think that should be a good one tomorrow, because Marcus Stroman, you know, despite the fact that we're seven games in, and his style of pitching has been what has ruined this offense so far seven games in. Eventually, this offense has to be able to beat up on somebody like him. And I think Marcus Stroman might be, forgive me, the perfect guy to turn this offense around, because it's an added chip on your shoulder. It's in his ballpark of Yankee Stadium, and you're coming off of just a rough stretch of seven games. I think this could be a culmination of a perfect storm tomorrow afternoon.
It definitely could be. Question to you guys. Why in the hell is it a 105 first pitch? Like, what the hell? On a Friday afternoon?
Home opener. Home opener for the Yankees, too.
Yeah. On a 105 on a Friday. Like, what are we doing here? I don't know. And then Saturday is 7 o'clock. What?
Yeah.
Then, going. I can actually watch the game. So I'm
and then Sunday, back to 1 o'clock.
For you, Rob. Yeah. I don't get it, fellas. I don't get it. But as for the Marcus Stroman thing, I was a big Stroman guy when he was here. I didn't want him to go, but made sense in the moments, obviously. And yeah, great vibes, great energy. Loved, I mean, like Alek Manoah, wears number 6, rep the city at all times. I think he has a tattoo of like the CN Tower on his arm. Love and it. It's just like, he embraced the city and he embraced the country and you loved it. Now, a lot of media people, let me put it this way, a lot of older media people didn't like the attitude. They didn't like the fire. They didn't like all that kind of stuff. That's fine, I guess, whatever. Yeah, sure. Seriousness all the time.
Yeah.
But I loved him. And unfortunately, I want them to tee off on him like crazy tomorrow for the Jay standpoint. And for, I don't want a former Jay coming and beating the Jays, but if you're a Toronto sports fan, you're kind of used to that stuff. So we'll see how that one goes, fellas. But I'm
really excited, man. I'm just really excited. You know, like, here's the thing. Like, Yankees home opener, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. The Jays are going to be under the spotlight, a great opportunity for them. And the Jays have done well in this spot. You know, we in 15, we went there and got them, beat them in their home opener. A couple years ago in 21, same thing. Got that big opening day win against them. So the Jays, they've had success in the Yankees home openers before. Hopefully that brings the same vibes again. It's just going to be cool. Marcus Stroman, you mentioned, a guy pitches with a lot of swag, really fun to watch just as a baseball fan, plays with a personality, which I do think is really important for this game. And Jays, not the Jays, but like MLB needs more Marcus Stromans, in my opinion, guys with that chip on their shoulder, that swag when they're pitching.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. And unfortunately, I think just like all of us, we're going to be at work. We won't be able to catch a whole ton of the game, but I'm sure we'll be trying to follow along. Pricey, you got lucky there, buddy. Got lucky there. Fair enough. Good for you. Hope you enjoy the game. But yeah, I'm definitely excited. I always am. I always think when the Jays play at Yankee Stadium in a big game, it just vibes are always immaculate because it's always a big game. You know, the crowd's on their shoulders. On their
international television.
On their shoulders. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a nationally televised game. It's going to be on ESPN.
I would imagine it's Yankees home opener, 1 o'clock. Yeah.
Right. You think so? I didn't know. So I thought maybe you.
Well, neither do I. I'm assuming, but yeah.
I'm assuming too. Yeah. No, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait, frankly.
So if we are correct in the vibes being good for the home opener of the Yankee Stadium, well, then we might be good for game two, because Kevin Gausman's on the mound making his second start of the year going against Clark Schmidt, who, despite his more experience against the Jays than obviously Marcus Stroman and the third starter for the Yankees and Luis Hill, Clark Schmidt has a lot of experience against this Jays team, and we've done relatively okay. We haven't been great, and we haven't been bad. We've kind of just been middle of the pack when it comes to Clark Schmidt, but I think that provides good, especially if game one goes well. How do we think Kevin Gausman's going to do in game two, in his second start of the season?
He's going to be great. I mean, like Saturday night, Yankee Stadium, he'll be dialed in. I mean, God, we saw what he did against the Rays and how beautiful he looks all the time. Fellas, I got to tell you something real quick. Haven't you noticed this with the Blue Jays? Maybe not just with this specific team, but like even last year, every single time they beat you down and they make you feel like, oh, it's over, done. Our team's cooked. We're trade everybody away. They reel you back in. And Cole, yeah, you mentioned,
that's a frustrating
isn't
part.
This a perfect opportunity?
It is.
Yankee Stadium, home opening series. You got Stroman on the hill in game one. You got Gauss in game two.
On paper, you're supposed to get swept.
Sure. Yeah. So this team, they'll find a way.
Yeah, the Yankees have been rolling. That was my point. Your little eyebrow raised, Rob. My point is the Yankees have been rolling, and their lineup 1-9 right now is relatively healthy, and just obviously that lineup healthy is way better than ours.
True.
I think baseball is a type of sport where it's impossible to like favor a sweep. Like they're favored to sweep. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's what I'm saying. Like
Like if you're reverse it. If we're a Yankees fan page and we're previewing that series, it is one of those series where you're like, on paper, yeah, we should sweep them. It's like when we talk about visiting Oakland or visiting Colorado or visiting a team that's on a 10-game losing streak. Like it's that kind of vibes is what I'm saying.
I would disagree. I think that you look at the matchup, Clark Schmidt, a career, like, basically, like, not – is he, what, like a six-starter, six-starter, career back-end guy against Kevin Gausman, a guy who's finished Cy Young three straight years in the top 10. So,
one of the worst run supports in the league last year.
Not in game one, though.
Yeah, I think that – we know that that's – I'm not sure that's actually correlated. We know that that's a thing, but – yeah, no, I would expect the Jays to win a game at least, hopefully two. If you win two games, you're 500. I said I would be more over the moon, more than happy. If you just go 500 on this road trip. That can still happen. You win the Kevin Gausman game, you find a way to win one of the other two, you're right there. You're going home. All the vibes will be excellent coming home if you just go 500 and win a series at Yankee Stadium. So that's still very much in the cards, in my opinion. I don't view the Blue Jays as so inferior to the Yankees last year. The Yankees were an 82-win team last year. I think adding one of the best players in the game is going to patch over a lot. That team looked kind of broken last year. They were off to a great start. Don't get me wrong. They could be wrong. They could very well win 90 games, win the division, all that. But to me, I feel personally I'm one of those people who think giving them the AL East crown in the first week of the season, a little premature.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying I am. I'm saying that team last year that won 82 games is not the team that we're facing tomorrow.
No. They're going to be better. Yeah. They're going to be better. But, like, do I think they went from an 82-win team to a 102-win team? No, I don't think so.
Not without Gerrit Cole for a couple months to start.
Without Gerrit Cole. That is the big thing. But had Gerrit Cole been there, I think that this team could have been a 100-win team.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You're one of the best pitchers in baseball.
They're certainly on pace to. They're certainly on pace to do it. So, see what you got, Yankees. You haven't made a World Series in 15 years.
Don't do this, Rob. Don't get them fired. But no bulletin board material, Rob. Come on now, buddy.
It didn't work out well for me. The Orioles are looking pretty good. And people on Instagram for the Blue Jay Center have made it known that I don't like this Orioles franchise. So, but now, obviously, they can laugh in my face. It hasn't gotten there quite yet, but it's getting close to being there.
Yeah. They still haven't won a playoff game.
Yeah, exactly. The final game of the series, quickly, because I don't think we need to really go into it, just based off of limited experience from Luis Hill. And Bowden Francis gets the start on Sunday against the Yankees on a day game. One note I will say about that Sunday game is likely, whether it's Saturday night or Sunday, Brian Servin should be getting another game this week. So it'll be interesting to see that, I guess. Alejandro Kirk, I assume, would catch Gausman, so you can peg Servin in for the Sunday game against Bowden Francis, because if I remember correctly, did he not? Oh, no, he didn't. That was in Houston's game one, so no, he didn't. But that would just make sense. Inexperienced guy with your other inexperienced guy on an afternoon game.
And that's a big start for Bowden Francis.
Wouldn't you rather not have it that way, though? Wouldn't you rather have the inexperienced guy with the more experienced catcher?
I guess, but I would rather the best version, like the best equation on Saturday night with Kevin Gausman. Like, that's kind of the way my thought process works. Like, had it been Jose Berrios, let's say, and not Kevin Gausman, I would have agreed with you. But because it's your ace, I want him to be as comfortable as possible.
You maximize your chance to win a game like that, and having Gauz and Kirky there, it maximizes your chance. Now, and it might mean the Sunday punt game, but and for Bowden Francis, guys, that's a massive start for him. Like, I understand it's Yankee Stadium. I get it. It's a tough thing, and it's only second start. I get that. But like you said earlier with Yariel Rodriguez buzzing, I mean, if he pitches it, if Yariel has another great start in AAA and Bowden Francis, I'm assuming he has options.
Yes.
You know, he does run?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, so there you go, right? If he doesn't pitch well, or you just pack Mitch White or Wes Parsons, how unfortunate. And then you stick Bowden Francis back in his role that he had last season, and you bring up a Yariel Rodriguez or something. It's a quick move that can happen if he doesn't have a great start yet again.
Yeah,
his next start would be
the Colorado.
Yes, Rockies. So you might give him that start because that team is bad.
Oh yeah, they're real bad. They would be in any year that the Oakland Athletics give a shit. They would be the worst team in baseball. So
yeah.
Funny thing that I didn't notice until just now: all three of those starters for the Yankees are right-handers. Where does Davis Schneider get to play?
Every damn game. Thank you. All right. Good night.
I'm low-key kind of serious. What happens? Like, do you after you come out to the public and say we are sitting Davis Schneider, despite the fact that he's went 2-for-2 in home runs and games played this year? After he won us the game last night, we're sitting him because the analytics say that we should. Then you get one hit. Do we think that the answer to that, to you getting embarrassed by going sending out that offense that got one hit after that game, do you think the answer is, okay, well, we have no choice but to start him in game one and on the home opener for the Yankees? Do you guys think he starts tomorrow?
I think he starts game one because you know, what you talk about earlier, Cole? You said high end and fastball. Stroman's a sinker baller. He's going to keep the ball down. Yeah. So for David, you got to have Schneider in there for that game. Wouldn't surprise me if he's in for the first two. And Luis Gil, who last time he faced the Jays I don't know if it was the only time, but regardless, it was the only time. Yeah, he couldn't throw a strike to save his life, albeit early on in his career.
Which was three years ago. You know, I haven't seen a Luis Gil game since, so we'll see. It's a mystery.
He's been good in his career.
So for Davis Schneider, I think he gets in two of the three games. Whatever two they are, I don't know, but he's got to be in there tomorrow. If he doesn't, there's going to be John Schneider saying, well, we think this was the right move. If I hear that again.
Well, the good news is we'll find out pretty quickly because it's a day game on a Friday, like you mentioned. So what? Yeah. We're not all that far away from the first pitch.
And not that all far from a 3-hour, because you usually get the lineup 3 hours before the game. Yeah. We're not that far from that either. So even closer to that. That wraps up the show, I think. If you guys have any final thoughts, you'd like that.
No, win some damn ball games. Show the
pulse. Win the series, man. You win a game at Yankee Stadium. Imagine how much different the vibes are going to be. You come home 500 with a series win at Yankee Stadium. It'll change the vibes a lot. When we go to the game on Monday, those of us who are going, I want to go with good vibes, man. I don't want to go seeing a team that's came off losing 5 in a row or however many it was. Win a game, win the series, bring the vibes back. We need good vibes on opening day. Just that one day. That's all I ask. Have good vibes.
Last thing I want to say is John Schneider, coaching staff, or whoever the hell the morons are that make these lineups, don't overthink it. Please put your best players out there and let it happen.
Also, I'm a little surprised we haven't talked about Mr. Offensive Coordinator Don Mattingly yet so far this season.
Shaving his beard?
Has he got the headset on? Is he calling a run on 3rd and 2? What's going on here?
Oh boy.
Anyways,
stop. Yeah, you didn't want to talk about the manager. We're certainly not talking about the offensive coordinator.
Okay. Offensive coordinator. So look, I get used to that in baseball. So. No.
All right, guys. Well, we will see you after the game on Sunday. So make sure you tune in then here on the Blue Jays Center podcast, presented by the Sick Podcast Network. Cole, Rob, and James, thank you for watching.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast Blue Jay Center on YouTube, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.